It's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anita Flanker. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Chicago Teachers Union members have voted by a huge margin to authorize a strike, setting the stage for about 25,000 of the teachers to walk off the job as early as October 7th. Jesse Sharkey, he's the union president, says the outcome shows that things have to change.
This is a clear signal from the members of the Chicago Teachers Union at 520 public schools across the city that we need the mayor and the Board of Education to address critical needs in our schools. We need staffing in areas like nursing, for social workers, and for special education services. We have a mayor that ran for office on the promise that she would make basic educational supports, education equity, and support neighborhood schools, and now we expect to see those promises in writing.
Okay, and here's the mayor.
We know that kids who stay in school are much less likely to be victims of crime and much less likely to be perpetrators of crime. So putting 360,000 kids on the street when the deal is right here at our fingertips, how does that make sense?
Said it would be disastrous. And as we talked earlier, the Chicago Park District is also threatening a strike, which is where a lot of the kids go when there is a strike to be safe during the day. I guess the delegates meet next Wednesday to set a possible strike date. Yeah. They don't have a deal that they're happy with.
Well, that's how these things, they do tend to come down to the very end.
They do.
Yes.
They do. So
I have faith this teacher's impasse will be resolved. I have faith in Mayor Lightfoot.
I kind of do too in this because I, you know, she's a slight bit of a badass, right?
Yeah, she's
I mean,
got
I'm afraid
of her. Litigation experience too. She'll step right in there and say, "Listen, yeah, right."
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she's also not taking the same. I think she's a very respectful approach to the jobs that they do.
Yes.
And I think that is well received by not just the teachers, but I think everybody else who wants to hear that kind of respect for what they do.
Are you saying that a predecessor might have been a little dismissive
maybe
when talking about the working class, whatever they do,
using
before going into his little puppy hole in City Hall and avoiding the press,
using the F word,
his bicycle,
the F word to talk to the head of the CTU was not exactly getting off to the right foot on the right foot in the negotiations.
Oh okay. My God,
his puppy hole! Remember that little flap he'd go through that little door in City Hall?
I do actually now.
You wouldn't even know it was there because it blended right in with
the
paneling.
We talked about that earlier. That every good politician in the history of Illinois, Chicago, and Cook County has that escape route.
Actual escape hatches.
They really do.
Yeah. You just go, you're like, you stand against the wall, and then the wall opens it, and you're gone.
And you're like, wait, look, it's the bookcase like he's in an Agatha Christie novel.
Yeah.
I have chased Mike Madigan through the halls of Springfield, and he disappeared. And I'm like, where did he go? I mean, just, he was gone. There was this magical door that no one else could get access to. And he was gone. Poof.
Checking in at
number four.
All right, now Warner Brothers got a little bit of an issue here. I'd like Richard to explain this. The red carpet premiere of The Joker is happening tomorrow in Hollywood at the Chinese Theater. Used to be Grauman, now it's a TCL Chinese Theater. I don't know. Why don't they just change it?
It's right next to where they do the Oscars there, and they close down the street. Every time you see a Hollywood premiere, it's almost always there in the same area.
So they are not going to allow reporters on the red carpet. They're only going to allow photographers on, so no questions for the cast as they're walking through there. It stars Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, why are there no questions for the cast?
We're going to get to hold on one second.
Okay.
They are restricting access to interviews because there's a lot of things happening around this film. There's now this story that, you know, movie theaters are not going to allow you to dress. You're not wear a mask or makeup to these movies. They're going to be on the lookout because when the previous Joker movie came out, right? What was it? 8 years ago?
It was the Aurora, mask. Colorado shootings.
Right. The last time. And so,
I remember the guy actually kind of, that idiot kind of looked like the Joker. He dyed his hair red and for his courtroom appearance.
Right. And there's a lot of criticism about how violent this thing is. Although Rambo, they didn't have that problem. Ryan, Rambo basically vivisects somebody. So, you know, there's that. Here's a little bit of what the Joker sounds like.
Arthur, I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
So the we've talked about this before too, the double-edged sword of these movies. I've not seen the movie; I'm seeing it in a couple of days, but it played at Toronto and tons of press. Obviously, were there in other places, and there have been some articles and some pieces criticizing it for glorifying violence. We've seen this, in regards to movies ever since movies came out a century ago. And Todd Phillips, the director, probably didn't help the cause at all. I do understand where he's coming from. He's like, well, what about John Wick? John Wick killed 300 people in his last movie, and everybody was whooping it up in theater. And it was Rome mentioned Rambo. I think the difference here is that people are saying that this character is so dark and disturbing, and those are very violent, but they don't feel like they have a real connection to the reality of the world, and somehow this Joker. But as always, it's like, well, you can't blame the movie. If someone sees the movie and then says, I'm going to go out and do this, I mean, that goes back to people reading Catcher in the Rye or watching other, Taxi Driver and be inspired by that. So I can kind of understand why Warner Brothers is like, well, if we're going to have Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips and the rest of the cast and crew walk the red carpet, every single reporter is going to ask that question. I mean, they're going to all feel like, I'm going to get the scoop. And they're going to ask, do you think this movie incites violence? What do you have to say about the controversy?
But why can't they just prepare them for that kind of a question?
They don't want to turn it in. They want to turn it into a celebration of the movie. And not this let's make news for the wrong reasons and have people worried about going to it. And the other thing they could have done, first of all, there were tons of interviews already.
And it's private industry, so they can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
they control access.
And they could easily, the truth is, those red carpet interviews, you either get that, or it's like, what was it like to work with Star B? It's about all you get.
It's so pretty quick.
Kind of surprised they didn't just say, well, we're going to have Access Hollywood and a few other softball programs there, and we know they'll just ask the easy questions. But this is not, usually I'd be like, how dare you bar the press? I'm not barring the press from seeing the movie in advance or anything like that.
I like the reviewers who then say, do you remember when I started your career? I like those people.
Jimmy Glick. Remember Martin Short today?
Exactly. Who are you?
Without me, you'd have no career. So everybody should settle down.
All right.
And wait till I tell you what to think about the movie.
Okay. We usually do.
Brandon Marshall says he's going to bury the hatchet with Jay Cutler.
Oh, where?
I told TMZ Sports that he's down to get a beer with the guy if Cuddy is buying. Only if Cuddy's buying.
Okay.
Yeah, life's too short, man. Like, at the end of the day, although, I didn't like how he approached some of the things with our team, and he didn't like how I approached some things, which is fair, but we did a lot together, some special stuff. Like,
not really.
I'll put our 1-2 combo against anybody. Yeah, we were deadly. Now, when it comes to winning games, that's different.
Yeah. At least that's what you got to love about Brandon Marshall.
There's an ounce of honesty, but there's always some sort of brutal, kind of unnecessary comment.
Can't they have it? They could do it on Very Cavallari, season 3.
That's what I was thinking. Right? Why don't they
do it here in town?
You know, KCAV's opening an Uncommon James store right here in Chicago.
I know.
Very exciting.
Is Brandon still living here?
No. But we can bring him in for this. You can come visit. None of them are living here, but they got to do it here. They're right by Soldier Field. Play a little catch.
Montana to Rice, Cutler to Marshall. Yeah. Right? It's right there.
Like, name some people. I was like, yeah.
I honestly like Trubisky to Gabriel better. It was fine. It was fine, but they didn't really do anything. They didn't do a poop.
What did he attack? Brandon Marshall just attacked Cutler for something like in the last week or two, didn't he? He said he was a bad quarterback.
Now he says that they stopped meshing at the end of the 2014 season, and they never were able to talk it out.
Our relationship should be better. I haven't talked to him since week 2 of our last season.
Why is it like tense between you? Why is it being tense between you?
Well, I think in the locker room, and when you're in the middle of the season, guys got egos, including myself. Right. I just think we're in the middle of the season, and we didn't have the skills to really talk through whatever was bothering he or I.
Yeah.
And it just went on that long.
Week 2, not the middle of the season. Week 2, they stopped talking. There's a lot of leadership in that locker room. If no one could, and that falls on everybody, coach and everybody too. If you don't get those week 2, they stop talking.
Yeah.
Tell Brandon I'm going to throw him the ball, Kyle Long. Brandon,
what did he say?
Right in the huddle.
Right.
I'm not listening.
No. Yeah.
I'm not. Well, I said that. Half the time the wide receiver never comes to the huddle. because they're such independent operators on the football field. They're like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna be me, bro. You do you. And if you want to throw the ball to me, I'll catch it and I'll make a touchdown. That would be a smart move for you, bro.
Well, Carmen knows this. There's certain wide receivers. You can tell they're not going to get the ball because they'll line up and start checking like their watches for Fitbit steps or looking into the crowd. I mean, like, that guy's not getting the ball this play.
Straight to Insta.
Yeah. I'm a decoy.
Call that out.
Chinstrap unbuckled.
I'm not even really going to run. I'm going to step one step off the line, and that's it. Because I'm a little tired. That was the John Fox Bears, if you've ever seen them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, checking in at
number two.
Over the years, there have been many celebrities who had the honor to speak before the United Nations for different causes, like Emma Watson.
The reality is that if we do nothing, it will take 75 years, or for me, to be nearly 100, before women can expect to be paid the same as men for the same work.
Yeah. How about the boy band BTS?
Ooh. No matter who you are, where you're from, your skin color, your gender identity, just speak yourself.
That's a BTS guy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You're thinking of BTO, Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
No, I said BTS, that's K-pop, right, BTS?
A little bit of a British accent.
That's a British accent's great. How about when Leo went before the United Nations?
This is not a partisan debate. It is a human one. Clean air and a livable climate are inalienable human rights.
Okay.
That's there you go. You're so stupid, Rose! That's what he said right after that. You're so stupid, as he was chattering his teeth
There's
in the water.
There's extra room right there. Why don't you move over?
It's the biggest door on the ship, Rose.
What can I grab on? Unanswered question.
And now, Aquaman.
Oh,
Jason Momoa.
Cool.
Has addressed the United Nations.
Aloha. Your Excellencies, distinguished distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. Today I stand before you as a singular representative of all island nations.
Okay. Can you, I'm sorry, play that again? Because I think he makes an almost terrible mistake there. Hold on.
Aloha. Your Excellencies. Distinguished distinguished delegates.
Oh, jeez.
That was intentional.
Holy. Because he cracked himself up. Well, you know, he is the Gronk of the Justice League. You know, it's not true. Just Jason Momoa. Also Aquaman. They should have had Awkwafina join Aquaman. Because they were talking about water.
It's also, you know, like the DC side of things, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Second tier.
Mm-hmm. And.
Aquaman knows about water.
Fine.
I've listened to Aquaman talk about water.
Can I just tell you, there's some guys from Vanuatu or whatever the name of that island is. They're going, hey, I love this guy.
He's the best, man.
You know, people are all lined up to get his autograph anyway. Guys, you know, with soup bowls for hats are all standing there from the UN.
Also, I'm married to Lisa Bonet.
Yes.
Fuck on that.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Also, great role in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Number one. Come fly with me. Let's fly.
An Alaska Airlines passenger flying coach was arrested by federal authorities after he went nuclear because he was blocked from using the first class bathroom. He was going from JFK to LAX. That's a long flight.
Yeah.
When he got super frustrated over the long line for the coach bathroom, he ranted by making people wait here to use the bathroom while the whole bathroom up there is empty. It's wrong, he said. Mm. So the pilot then had to get on, you know, the pilot talking stick.
Oh,
and
we know
say,
that one.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I don't care how much money you got. It ain't about money. You're trying to use the bathroom. Let the bathroom be empty up there and let eight people wait in line to use the bathroom while two bathrooms are empty in the front. I'm not going to stop playing, but you can tell me I'm going to wait.
So this is your captain speaking.
I'm going to wait to see this.
I like how the pilot was still in classic pilot voice mode.
I never break from that.
But he reminded me a little bit of a Starbucks employee, though. That is a little bit of what was going on there, right? There's a black man in the aisle, and, everybody's got to just calm down now.
But they don't let you use the first-class bathroom. Like, haven't you guys ever run into that? Well, you've got to pay for that. You try to go up there, and they're like, no.
They always make that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a security thing, if flight attendants have to do that.
No, it's a class thing.
Class thing? 100%. Like, you don't belong here.
No, they let people, if there's like an emergency, they let people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but it's just the way it goes.
I complain, though, if I'm sitting in first class.
Oh, I talked to the attendant in the bathroom about that. I've said, listen.
The attendant?
Yes, with the mints and everything.
I was like, that man's not supposed to be up here.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, apparently there's somebody from steerage. He's trying to use first class bathroom. We're going to make an emergency landing now and have that man arrested.
Oh, gee. I mean, you guys are talking about airplane bathrooms. Everybody did see Lapka's bathroom tweet, right? Lord. I did.
That's
not.
That's true.
How did I miss that?
That's true.
No.
On her flight, she's in Europe, and she took a flight to Europe, and we had just talked about the Mile High Club.
Yeah.
And
she saw something that might have.
Yeah.
Well, she recorded the young couple.
Oh,
not in action, but
obvious. Mm-hmm. So obvious. It was wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even though you couldn't make out their identity, you could tell that they were like sheepishly exiting the bathroom.
Right.
While Lauren is curled up, all 47 pounds of her under her blanket, shooting video of it.
She'd be a good PI, man.
Oh, she would.
She totally
She's hilarious.
Would.
All right. Let's lock this thing up, shall we?
The top five at five.
We got the news right now. Here is Kim Gordon.